This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
More shocking church allegations. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, August 15. Glad you're with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
An 800-page report by a grand jury says Catholic officials in Pennsylvania covered up accusations of molestation by more than 300 priests over several decades.
Primary day featured gubernatorial races in Connecticut, Wisconsin, Vermont, Kansas, and Minnesota. We'll have a recap.
Eight people have been injured after a gunman opened fire during a dispute between customers in a checkout line at a Walmart outside Philadelphia.
And more companies teaming up with high schools to develop vocational training.
What's interesting is that the big trend we're seeing in education policy right now is policymakers really saying enough about high-stakes testing, enough about teacher quality. What we really should be focusing on is making sure that we're teaching students so that they're equipped either to go to college or, you know, developing some kind of skills that they could take to a two-year college or even directly to a job.
Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman on the win-win of skills training for high school students. Stunning revelations about the Catholic Church by a grand jury in Pennsylvania, which found officials systematically covered up the molestation of more than 1,000 children by more than 300 priests over the past 70 years. The report found widespread abuse of boys and girls dating to the 1940s that said it shows a chronic failure by six of the eight Pennsylvania dioceses to protect young victims. In one case, a priest admitted to raping a girl decades earlier, including when she was seven, and recovering in a hospital from having her tonsils removed. Reaction from David Zubik, Bishop of the Pittsburgh Diocese.
We are sorry. I am sorry. We all must take this report to heart. It is a story of people's lives, people who need to be heard.
The report said church officials regularly placed priests in ministry even after learning of allegations against them. Some complaints were halted by a diocese to delay a case beyond a statute of limitations. Changing course here, two business executives who ran as political outsiders will square off to be Connecticut's governor this November. Democrat Ned Lamont and Republican Bob Stefanowski won their party's primaries yesterday. Current Governor Daniel Malloy is not seeking a third term. In Wisconsin's gubernatorial primary, state school superintendent Tony Evers won the Democratic nod to take on incumbent Republican Scott Walker. In Vermont, former utility executive Christine Hallquist beat three other Democrats to become the first transgender gubernatorial nominee for a major party.
Tonight, we made history. We already made history. And I'm so honored to be recognized, to be part of this historical moment, I guess.
In Kansas, Secretary of State Chris Kobach won the Republican gubernatorial primary after getting Mr. Trump's endorsement Monday. And the race to succeed Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton will be contested by Jeff Johnson, a Republican county commissioner, and Congressman Tim Walz, who prevailed in the Democratic primary. Mr. Johnson was seen as an outspoken supporter of President Trump. Terrifying moments in the checkout line in a Walmart near Philadelphia. Police say eight people were injured last night when a man pulled a gun during a dispute with another customer in a store in the town of Wincote, 10 miles north of Philly. It happened around dinner time at the Cedarbrook Plaza Shopping Center. Cheltenham Township Police Chief John Fry said all victims sustained non-life-threatening injuries.
A short time later, the suspects crashed into the rear of a Philadelphia police car and they were taken into custody. Along the way, they threw the gun from the vehicle, and we did recover the gun.
Police say the gunfire started after some type of altercation between customers in separate lines near the cash register when words were exchanged, and the suspect pulled a gun from his female companion's waistband and fired, quote, at least 10 shots. Two women in their 40s and a man in his 40s were wounded in the legs. Another person had a graze wound, while a fifth person later went to a hospital with unspecified injuries. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Democrats are embracing Michael Avenatti's call for the party to get more aggressive in the Trump era and hit back harder than the GOP when responding to attacks. Mr. Avenatti, the attorney for adult film star Stormy Daniels, who's now considering a White House run, said at an event in Iowa on Friday that, quote, "When they go low, I say hit back harder." It was a nod to former First Lady Michelle Obama's "When they go low, we go high" mantra. More on the messaging from Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. Mike, set this up.
Well, it kind of all started over the weekend with Michael Avenatti. He's the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who's kind of been everywhere. And he made a very fiery speech, and his argument is that the Democrats are just not fighting hard enough. He said his money quote was, "We have a tendency to bring nail clippers to a gunfight." And, of course, in the age of Donald Trump, there are a lot of folks out there who think that that is exactly the wrong strategy, and it's how the Democrats will remain in the minority for years to come. And, you know, a lot of Democratic strategists agree with that. Talked with members of Hillary Clinton's team, some people on Capitol Hill, and they think that Avenatti is exactly right, that the Democrats have just gone too soft, and it's time to change tactics. And there's an important note there. This is a question of tone, not ideology. Nobody's saying that the Democrats are arguing for the wrong issues or anything. It's just an issue of tone and how to go after the Republicans in the age of Donald Trump.
Separately, by the way, how did Mr. Avenatti go from representing Stormy Daniels to suddenly being interested in running for president?
Well, yeah, there's the big question, too. I mean, you know, he has a lot of ulterior motives here, right? Because he's kind of positioning himself for the White House, which caught a lot of people by surprise. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's trying to build a brand. He's trying to set himself apart early from the rest of the emerging field. And just Tuesday morning, he just shot out on Twitter a list of policy prescriptions that he would support. So he seems to be taking it quite seriously. And again, he does have an ulterior motive for trying to set himself apart early from the field. So he sees himself as the type of fighter who can take on Donald Trump. And there he is, positioning himself to do so.
You know, it's interesting because I think, and I'm playing sort of junior psychologist here, only certain people can pull that off, like being nasty with some pushback or something like that. That does not fit everybody's persona. So does that mean that some people might be excluded from the Democratic field?
Well, even deeper than that, I think it brings real questions about the effectiveness of that method, okay, right? I mean, you know, we saw Bernie Sanders was kind of an unapologetic fighter in contrast to Hillary Clinton's more measured style. And, of course, Clinton won that race. And then in the GOP debates in 2016, you know, after Republican voters seemed to respond favorably to Trump's combative style, you saw all the Republican candidates racing to try to mimic it, and then they got clobbered. I mean, they just couldn't keep up with him. And so you're exactly right. A lot of these people are just not, they're just not suited to adopt, you know, character traits that aren't them. And so it is, you know, we are in a cult of personalities here, and that was kind of always the case, but it's amplified in the age of Twitter and cable news that never goes dark, and it seems to be very well suited for guys like Donald Trump. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's a personality issue, and some people just aren't suited to adopt personality traits that aren't themselves.
We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. He's written a piece entitled "Dems Ready to Move Past Michelle Obama's Go High Message," in which she said, "When they go low, we go high." Might there be another simple message that Democrats come up with ahead of, say, I don't know, the midterms or perhaps the 2020?
Well, you know, they're really scrambling for some sort of message that resonates. You know, their agenda polls very well. You know, anything they can issue: minimum wage, immigration reform, paid family leave, you know, retaining Roe versus Wade, even gun reform polls very heavily in their favor, and yet they're a minority party in Congress. But yes, they are searching for a message that resonates with voters. And you know, with Trump, they think that they've got an edge with independent voters who are turned off by Trump. And so the counter argument to Avenatti's, you know, we have to bring a gun to a gunfight argument is that the Democrats don't want to jump in the gutter with Donald Trump and turn off the independent voters that they're trying to woo at the same time.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, as you know, but there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective. How about this? 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's G-O-R-D-O-N. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a scathing Pennsylvania grand jury report just released reveals decades of child abuse allegations against more than 300 accused predator priests, as well as claims that Roman Catholic Church leaders covered up the crimes and obstructed justice in order to avoid scandal. More than 1,000 child victims were identifiable from the church's own records. Bishop David Zubik.
The women and men of the grand jury have spoken. They have spoken for victims. And to those women and men and all those for whom they have spoken, we hear you.
The grand jury report, which says the real number of children affected is in the thousands, was released yesterday by Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro. It was a night of firsts in Tuesday's primaries. Democrats in Minnesota have backed a woman who would be the first Somali American member of Congress. In Vermont, Democrats nominated the nation's first transgender candidate for governor. In Kansas, Governor Jeff Collier conceded to Secretary of State Kris Kobach in the state's Republican gubernatorial primary.
I've just had a conversation with the Secretary of State, and I congratulated him on his success, and I repeated my determination to keep this seat in Republican hands.
Collier's concession ends almost a week of uncertainty. Lawyers for Paul Manafort have rested their case in his bank fraud trial without calling a single witness. That announcement on the 11th day of the trial for President Trump's former campaign chairman closed nearly 2 weeks of testimony. Witnesses depicted the former Trump campaign chairman as using millions of dollars hidden in offshore accounts to fund a luxurious lifestyle and later obtaining millions more in bank loans under false pretenses. Closing arguments are expected to take place today. If and when the Cleveland Browns finally win a game, fans will have another thing to celebrate, free Bud Light. The beer will be distributed in 10 Cleveland area bars if the team wins, which would mark the Browns' first win since Christmas Eve 2016. 10 bars in the city have purchased 8-foot fridges filled with Bud Light bottles from Anheuser-Busch. The fridges are currently locked by an electromagnet, which will be turned off wirelessly when the Browns officially claim their first victory of the season.
Did you say when?
When
or,
and if.
Or if.
I said both.
Oh, okay.
In the beginning. That's, if and when the Browns, they'll win this year.
That's unbelievable. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Confidence is key when dating, but is it possible to take your self-assurance too far? A new study finds most online daters are swiping right on people who are out of their league. More from MarketWatch reporter Carrie Paul. Carrie, what are we learning?
A study came out this week that showed that people swipe on potential partners that are, on average, 25% out of their league, if that is quantifiable, which in the study it was.
I was going to say, how is that? And what a shame that people think that way.
Right. So in this study, they quantified that based on a formula they used that looked at how many messages a person received from people. So obviously, if you receive more messages, that would imply that you are more desirable or more sought after. And so people are consistently swiping right on others who are 25% more desirable based on how much engagement they are getting.
Wow. I guess why not, right? I mean, that the social media basically allows you to do it.
Right. That's what we talked to some dating experts about. A lot of people are kind of using these apps as a game. They're swiping because it seems like there's no consequence to it. A lot of times you don't meet these people in person, so, you know, you might as well, as one person put it, shoot your shot and try to, you know, match with as great of people as you can, whether or not you think you have a chance with them.
It's interesting. So the 25% in which you may be trying to date 25% out of your league, I guess, for lack of better terminology, that's based on all kinds of factors?
Yeah, so in this particular study, it was just based on the number of messages the person received.
Okay.
Because you can't really quantify, you know, looks and other factors like that, which some people that we spoke with about the study called into question. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that go into desirability in terms of occupation, looks, sense of humor, things like that.
Yeah. What else factored in here in this study? What else did we learn?
Well, some people were talking about how this is kind of feeding into the burnout culture surrounding swipe-based dating apps. Some people are saying that the structure of these apps encourages people to pursue strangers that they may not have any hope of dating in real life.
Wow.
So it's kind of this concept of if a desired match doesn't happen, there's still a lot of out-of-their-league singles. You can keep swiping and swiping, and statistically you'll end up matching with a good number of people anyway.
What about that? Did the study find that you can actually achieve decent results by pursuing somebody who might be out of your league?
Well, we did speak to one single person who was saying that his current girlfriend he thought was out of his league, and then she thought that he was out of her league. So you never know.
Wow.
And now they are dating each other, so it could work out.
Thanks, Carrie. Carrie Paul, MarketWatch personal finance writer. The study, by the way, was done for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, August 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Pennsylvania grand jury says at least 1,000 children were molested by 300 priests over the decades. At least 35 people have been killed after a bridge in the Italian city of Genoa collapsed under torrential rain. South Korea's president today called for a single economic community with North Korea. A survey by Glassdoor finds 13 of the 25 highest-paying jobs are in tech. The movie Crazy Rich Asians hits theaters today, and how teachers in Florida rallied for a colleague fighting cancer. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at MichiganBusiness.org. Contact them today. Direct ties between big companies and local high schools are multiplying. The renewed popularity of so-called career education programs marks a shift away from the idea that all students should get a liberal arts education. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman says schools are once more deciding it is worth intervening in the lives of students who might not have the academic prowess or the financial footing to pursue bachelor's degrees, and instead equip them with skills for steady employment. Michelle, what's trending?
So what's interesting is that the big trend we're seeing in education policy right now is policymakers really saying, you know, enough about the high-stakes testing, enough about teacher quality. What we really should be focusing on is making sure that we're teaching students so that they're equipped either to go to college or, you know, in many cases, lot of students wouldn't benefit from four-year college. They'd benefit more from, you know, developing some kind of skill that they could take to a two-year college or even directly to a job. And so we're seeing a lot of programs really pop up to sort of cater to that specific skill development.
Give some examples. Who's doing what, Michelle?
Yeah. Sure. So, and the other interesting thing that's really happening is that people have sort of gotten smart. They've said, we can't just train you in random skills and put you out in the world and hope that you'll get a job. You know, a lot of programs that have been around for several decades did that, like cosmetology programs. Let's say you learn how to be a hairdresser. But what these schools have really done, which is, you know, a lot of people find very smart, is partner up with big name companies. So I featured a program in Rhode Island that is closely connected to Electric Boat. That's the submarine manufacturer. There are other programs around the country connected to Tesla or to Volkswagen and companies sort of all across the spectrum. And those companies come in and they say, here's a curriculum, you know, here are the skills that we would need to hire a worker. If you can train your students up to those skills, then we can take your students.
And as you point out in the story, like partnering with high schools is great because it's they can train these kids for free, unlike if they had to employ them first, right, then train them.
Right. So it's free on both ends, if you can imagine. You know, the companies are getting a great deal because they're going to high schools and they're saying, produce workers for us. You know, they really are facing these worker shortages sort of all across the board in the types of jobs that require pretty specific skills like welding, but don't necessarily require a bachelor's degree. And on the other hand, it works really well for students because, you know, you go to college, you have a lot, you have a big tuition, you take on debt. High school, obviously, public and free.
I'm speaking with Wall Street Journal education policy reporter Michelle Hackman. She's written a piece entitled Vocational Training is Back as Firms Pair with High Schools to Groom Workers. I thought it was interesting, too, because I think part of the story is you just don't know as a high schooler what might interest you. And you feature a kid, I think,
right,
who basically said he had no idea he would like welding. And all of a sudden he saw that blue flame coming out of the torch. And he's like, I could do this, right? Basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it appealed to him because it was, you know, something hands-on. He said to me, I don't feel like I'm a good student. I couldn't focus in class. I was always fidgety. And this sort of gives me an outlet, and I really love it. You know, he kind of felt like it was artwork to him.
And he's like making a $16.50 an hour or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, with benefits.
So how many kids, say, in a particular school might opt to be with a specific company's training?
That's a really good question, and there aren't really great numbers on this phenomenon yet. We've seen nationally the number of students enrolling in some kind of vocational program increase by about 22% over the last decade. Now, that could mean students just doing some kind of concentration that takes up half of their day, or it could be something more intense, you know, where they're really training for a job, they get an internship, that kind of thing.
What happens, though, when the economy slows and there's not the desperate search for workers by companies that there is right now?
Well, that's one of the many concerns with sort of moving to a model like this. And I think Electric Boat actually presents a very good example. The school I went to had a similar program in the 1990s, but they were forced to shut it down when Electric Boat, I think, lost a federal contract, laid off a bunch of workers. And sort of the students didn't really the school didn't really have anywhere to send its students that it was training anymore, so it had to shut down its program.
Thanks, Michelle. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. Can only hope that this type of competition helps lower the cost of college overall, right? It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me directly with the username at Gordon Deal. If you want stuff that's half as interesting, you can follow the guy on my right. But is that not nice?
Mostly just responding to you and your Friday Eve stuff, and you know, right, calling me out on things I do on the show. That's really what I'm doing mostly. And railing on the Mets. Those are the two things that I do the most.
You can follow Mike at Radio Gavin 1. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, back to school time in recent years has proven to be fertile ground for viral videos, and 2018 is proving to be no exception. The latest entry comes from Susanna B. Lewis, who goes by Whoa Susanna on Facebook. Susanna took on one of the worst aspects of being a parent of school-age kids, the drop-off line. In the 1 minute 45 second video, the author and comedian based in Medina, Tennessee, parodies the drop-off routine and voices her frustration at things like kids who take too long to get out of the car and the parents that make it worse.
Come on now. You've given them a kiss. You get what are you telling them, the story of the day they were born? Get your kid out of the car. Look at this one right here, tangled up in the seatbelt. Hey, this ain't Days of Thunder. They could have unstrapped way back there. We're not rolling through here 75 miles an hour.
Based on the comments on the video, the frustration with the school drop-off line is widespread. One mom wrote, "Amen. My kids exit the van like paratroopers. We slide up, the van door goes open, and I'm all, go, go, go. I love you. Have a good day. As the door is closing, and I'm rolling out." The video has already been viewed nearly 7.3 million times.
I like that. Kids exiting the van like paratroopers.
Go, go, go. I mean, one of the pretty much the only good thing about working the hours we work here is that I rarely have to do the drop-off.
Yeah.
At school. But whenever I do, it's a very intimidating experience. Just all these minivans just coming out of nowhere, everybody jockeying for position. It can be a little tense at times.
How about the militant school staffers who direct traffic?
Right.
Get out.
Yeah.
Move, move, move.
South to drop off, north to pick up. <That's right. laughs> From Mr. Mom.
I had my son one time when he was going to a summer camp, a day camp.
Yeah.
He was young. I don't know, probably 5 years old. And it was the first time I think he was taking a bus.
Yeah.
The camp bus pulled up in front of the house to take him. So we were standing by the curb. He turned around and bolted back into the garage. We had to go flush him out. You'll enjoy this, we swear. Get the hell on the bus. You know, it's one of those things.
It's that time of the year. And a stranded parrot, Gordon, is making news for its unusual way of thanking the firefighters who had come to rescue her by cursing at them. According to the Telegraph, officers from the London Fire Brigade were called to the scene on Monday to save Jessie, a turquoise and yellow macaw parrot who had gotten stuck on a roof for 3 days. The fire crew set up a ladder and a volunteer went up to try and coax the bird over with a bowl of food. Jessie's owners also instructed the firefighter to tell the bird, "I love you," to encourage her to come down. However, Jessie, who reportedly escaped from her home nearby, was not feeling the love and instead told firefighters to blank off several times. Fortunately, the fire crew were professionals, did not take offense to Jessie's strong language. After unsuccessfully trying to get the bird down, using the word come in both Turkish and Greek, languages they were told she speaks,
the
sassy bird eventually decided to come down on her own, fortunately uninjured.
I hate to say it, Mike. Do you know who was teaching this bird? Cats.
Right.
Yeah, cats.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Cats. You know what happened if a dog was on top of that roof?
Right.
Yeah, forever love and dedication.
Come
and
right
face
down.
Face licks. That's right. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Getting too little sleep is tied to lots of bad health effects. And now, researchers say sleep deprivation could contribute to loneliness as well. And this loneliness could be contagious. LiveScience.com says a small new study suggests that when people are sleep-deprived, they feel lonelier and are more inclined to keep a greater physical distance from others compared with when they are fully rested. The social distance that a person felt comfortable with increased by about 13 to 18% when that individual was sleep-deprived. What's more, researchers said sleep-deprived people may give off a lonely vibe. They're judged by others to be lonelier and less socially attractive compared with fully rested people. This could lead to a vicious cycle that perpetuates loneliness. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a sweeping scandal is encircling the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania. According to a grand jury report released yesterday, more than 300 priests were said to have molested more than 1,000 children and possibly many more since the 1940s, and senior church officials covered up the abuse. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro says his office will fight to have redactions removed from the report.
In effect, they wanted to cover up the cover-up.
In nearly all of the cases, the statute of limitations has run out, meaning criminal charges cannot be filed. Former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman says she will not be silenced by President Trump. remaining defiant as her public feud with her former boss appeared to shift to possible legal action. Manigault Newman, who is promoting a new book, says she believes the president's campaign organization is trying to keep her from telling her story. She commented hours after Trump's campaign announced it was filing an arbitration action against her, alleging violations of a secrecy agreement she signed. Rescue and recovery efforts continued through the night into this morning in Italy following the collapse of a highway bridge in Genoa, while authorities raised the death toll to 37. Rescuers searched through tons of concrete slabs and steel for survivors or bodies from yesterday's collapse. Maryland President Wallace Lowe and Athletic Director Damon Evans have taken responsibility for the June death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair. Athletic Director Damon Evans says McNair's condition was not properly identified or treated.
Our athletic training staff did not take Jordan's temperature and did not apply a cold water immersion treatment.
The university has not yet made a decision regarding the status of football coach DJ Durkin, who will remain on administrative leave pending the outcome of an investigation into the program. If you're looking for a high-paying job, you might want to focus on two industries, healthcare and technology. 18 out of the 25 highest-paying jobs are in those two sectors, according to a new analysis of salary data from employment site Glassdoor. Physician comes in at number one with an annual salary averaging more than $195,800. That's followed by pharmacy manager, pharmacist, enterprise architect, and corporate counsel.
Excellent. Where did radio broadcaster come in?
Where did we go wrong?
Did we make the top 100 or?
No. No way.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us. The chemotherapy dripped through a catheter in his chest. Cancer patient Robert Goodman had burned through his paid sick days while undergoing surgery and chemotherapy for colon cancer. Fox News says the Florida public school teacher figured he needed at least 20 additional sick days to deal with more chemo, days he just didn't have. So on July 23rd, in a hospital room in Palm Beach County, the 56-year-old Mr. Goodman took a selfie, posted it on Facebook, and appealed for help. Within 4 days, he had enough sick days to cover an entire semester. Teachers, staffers, administrators, and lunchroom workers who pay into the Florida retirement system transferred 75 sick days to him. Mr. Goodman, who has taught history at Palm Beach Gardens Community High School for 23 years, learned he had stage 3 colon cancer in April. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.